Amen. Thank you, worship team. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Dude, I love that song. You know, what I love about that song is it says, when the sun is shining down on me and all the world as it should be, blessed be the name. But then it goes on, blessed be the name on a road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about worshiping. And honestly, have you ever thought about this? What is our breaking point when it comes to worship? Like, at what point do we, like, stop? You know, a few years ago, my family and I was putting some linoleum vinyl flooring in our kitchen. And we had a large kitchen that was actually connected to our dining room, and it had a peninsula in there. And I thought, I don't want any seams because I'm not a floor layer. So I'm going to try to cut out at one piece. So I took the old flooring out, laid it on as a template, and I thought, I've got it all under control. It's going to be good. Then I put my wife on the end of this 25-foot roll, and I was on the other end of this 25-foot roll. And I put my three kids in the middle, because I thought, hey, they're not that strong, but if all three of them come together, they could at least carry the center part of this roll. Well, we're out in the garage. I cut it all. I start carrying this roll in. Well, we lived in a house. We had to go up some steps. And as my wife was walking up the steps, the center section went like this, and it ripped right down the middle. And in that moment, I was not saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. And in fact, in that moment, I can tell you, this is exactly what I did. Lord, hold my tongue. Lord, hold my tongue. And I'm not joking. I paced like this for probably 5 minutes. Lord, hold my tongue. Lord, hold my tongue. Lord, hold my tongue. Because in that moment, I just spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars on this flooring that immediately in that moment it ripped. And my three kids, God bless them, they sat there going, we're sorry, Dad. We're sorry. And I'm like, and they didn't do anything wrong. They did nothing wrong. But in that moment, I was just having this moment, you know, just, Lord, hold my tongue. Because I knew in that moment, I was not ready to give praise. In fact, in that moment, I was ready to explode over something silly. Anybody else have those moments where we are ready to explode over something small? We each have those moments. Some of us handle them a little bit different, but all of them come to the same point. Are we willing to worship God when things don't go our way? You know, in that song, on a road marked with suffering, there was pain in the offering. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This morning, we're going to talk about breaking points. And with our breaking points, we're going to talk about the ideas. What is my breaking point? Do you have that? And in a more structured and more a deeper question, I want to ask this. At what point do I stop worshiping God? Now, I would love to say that we don't have breaking points. Wouldn't you love to say that? That we just keep our eyes on Jesus the whole time, and it's like we're sitting there and heavens open up and there's, you know, light comes down, and it's like, ah, and we're just having this moment, and everything is going wrong, and we're having, ah. But what happens when the small stuff happens, and everything goes wrong? But what if it's not even small stuff? Life is full of hard stuff. And if you've not experienced it, you're going to. Some stuff you're going to be questioning, God, what in the world is going on? And if you're like, I don't know what's going on, God, I just want to throw in the towel, you're in good company. Because many of us have had those moments where we're like, I can't do it anymore. I can't. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me. We're going to study and look at a guy named Job. So turn your Bibles to Job. It looks just like Job, but it's Job. It's in the Old Testament. Chapter 1. We're going to look at a guy who honestly did, I'm sure he had those small little moments of linoleum tearing moments, but we don't see those moments here. And we're going to look at five different trials that honestly have the potential to really just cause you to stop worshiping. And if you know that those trials are going to be coming in the future, I want to challenge you as we're digging through the Word this morning that you could just pause and think, okay, wait a minute. The Lord gives and the Lord takes. I will bless the name of the Lord. Because the truth is, He is good and He is sovereign. And yet, the Lord does give and the Lord does take. And there's moments where we're saying, I can't do this anymore. So join with me in Job chapter 1. Starting with verse 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and he shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys. He had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. And his sons used to hold the feast in their homes on their birthdays, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. And when a period of feasting had run its course, Job would make arrangements for them to be purified. And early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, well, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. Right here we see a guy, we see this whole story, this whole book getting set up, where the author is telling us that Job was a guy who was a very righteous man. He loved his family. You could tell by the times that they would go out and have these parties for the birthdays, and he loved God, and he's like, you know what? Because I love and I fear God so much, I am going to offer a sacrifice on behalf of them just in case they had anger in their hearts, just in case they did something to curse God in their hearts. So we see a guy, Job, who was honestly chasing after God. And then we see a guy, Job, who was blessed. We see it right here. He had 7,000 sheep, 5,000 donkeys. He had a large number of servants, 500 oxen. I mean, think about this. When we're going through all these, he had 3,000 camels, all these numbers here. This is like 3,000 camels. That's like 3,000 cars. I mean, this guy was a wealthy man. It says there was no one as great as him in all the East. So not only was he a righteous man, but he was a man who was blessed with a lot of material wealth. And the idea is, it's setting us up to go understand that how blessed he was and how great a man he was. Let's keep reading. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, well, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Can you imagine having God say that about you? What does that speak about Job's character? He was a man who feared God and shunned evil. Let's keep reading. And then Satan said this, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" And Satan replied, "Have you put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." And the Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now we don't understand fully why stuff happens. In fact, that is some of the hardest questions. And we're going to talk a little bit why things do happen. But right here, we see God saying, "You know what? Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan said, "Well, of course he follows you. Of course he worships you. Because all you do is bless him, God. The moment you take away his material possessions, the moment you do that, all of a sudden, he's going to curse you to your face. You know, he's going to stop worshiping you." This morning, five trials. We're going to start with the first trial here. The first trial is called the power trial. So you have your notes at the back of your bulletin. We have the notes here. The power trial. One day, verse 13, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "Oxen were plowing, the donkeys were gazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked, and they made off with them. And they put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." Right here we see a power trial where the idea is someone's coming in and actually attacking Job's things. He's attacking Job's people. It is a power struggle. And the question is this, what do you do when you have a power struggle with somebody? You ever have those moments? Maybe it's with a boss, maybe it's someone, a coworker at work, and you just have these moments where you're like, and you want to lose it with somebody? You ever have those moments? And you're like, I just want to destroy them. But not only do you see a power trial, but then we see the material trial. Verse 16, and while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from heavens, burned the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." And while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties, swept down on the camels, and made off with them. And they put the servants of the sword, and I am the only one to escape to tell you." So not only did the Sabians come, but then all of a sudden fire fell down from heaven, destroyed the livestock there. And then all of a sudden another group, the Chaldeans, came in and started raiding. And this is just after the one, which is like almost, it's like piling on. Do you worship? What do you do in those moments? Do you say, "God, I'll worship you with the good. I'll worship you with the good, but there's a line." You know, sometimes we don't say with our mouth there's a line, but with a heart there's a line. Do you have a line? A line that says, "God, here's my line. Don't cross it." Ooh. We may not say those words, but do we do that with our heart? We say, "God, I will worship you if not, I will just worship you, period." But not only that, not only was there the power trial and the material trial, but then, and this is where it even gets harder, there's the death trial. The death trial. And while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and your daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and it struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them. And they are dead, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you." I tell you what, when I read that, I just get sick to my stomach. Because if it wasn't the material trial, if it wasn't the power trial, the death trial, Maybe you've lost someone in your life and you're just sitting there going, God, I can't take it. I mean, just picture family having a feast, having a celebration, all of a sudden walls knocked down. And all of his kids, 7 boys, 3 daughters, gone. What would our response be? See, this morning, my call, my cry, my challenge to you as we are digging through the Word is to say, God, you are God in the good, but you are also God in the bad. See, God does not give up his throne when bad things are happening. He is still there. But so often our response is, I'm done. I can't take it. But let's look at Job's response. And this was Job's response. Verse 20, he said this, and at this, Job got up. He tore his robe. He shaved his head. And then he fell to the ground in worship. God, you've taken my possessions. You've brought enemies to attack. You've allowed them to happen. And now my family. And I will worship you. Oh, doesn't that just make you want to take your breath? It takes your breath away, doesn't it? Just to think about that. And then he continues on saying this. Naked I come from mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. This morning, are you worshiping? Period. You know, it's easy to come in here and sing songs. It's easy to go through the motions, wouldn't you say? I mean, how many of us ever, be honest, how many of us ever come in this room and we just sing words that are on the screen? Anybody? Many of us. And in fact, I think if we were mostly fully honest, at times, all of us are just singing songs. But this is what I want you to understand. Worship is a choice. It's a matter of the heart, but it is a choice. It is choosing to acknowledge God and His love and His greatness and acknowledge that He is good even in the midst of pain. When we don't know what's going on, when you don't know what's going on, God is good. But it didn't stop there. We have another situation coming up here, starting with chapter 2. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to him, "Where have you come from?" This sounds kind of familiar, isn't it? And he said, "Well, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." So once again, Job is a conversation between God and Satan. And this is where we come up with the next trial. We call this the health trial. And Satan said, starting with verse 4, "Skin for skin," Satan replied, "a man will give all he has for his own life. But now stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took pieces of broken pottery, scraped himself with it because he sat among the ashes. Picture it. All these other trials happen. He's lost his family. He's lost his possessions. And all of a sudden, he's getting these sores. And he's sitting there. And I can just see the pain. And it's covering from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he's sitting there, and they're itching. Because you know those sores that just constantly itching. And it gets so bad that he takes pottery, and he starts scraping off the sores, just trying to get a little comfort. And it's so painful. And it's like, what do you think at that moment? You just, if this was you, what would you be thinking? Would you be like, I just can't get comfortable. It's so painful, I can't take it anymore. And that leads us to the fifth trial, which is the voice trial. And his wife, just picture this, Job's sitting there scraping off his sores, and his wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity?" Job, curse God and die. Job, you've gone through enough. God's crossed the line. Curse God and die. Wouldn't that be what we want to do? God, I'm done. I can't take this anymore. You not only took my possessions, you not only took my family, you not only took everything else, but now, God, right now, now you're giving me sores. And it's unbearable. I can't do it anymore. And then, the very loved one that was with him through all of this, the one who also lost her children, the one who lost her possessions, the one who felt the attacks of the Chaldeans and the Sabians, and now is sitting there watching her husband in anguish and pain, and she's saying, curse God and die. And this is where we see a truth. It is easy to praise God in good times. But what about the bad times? What about when you feel as if your world is falling apart? This morning, I have a question for you. Do you feel like your world is falling apart? Because if you do, I want to challenge you. Worship. It may not always be the most natural thing to do, but worship. Your truest heart of worship, get this, your truest heart of worship is most clearly exposed not when you are living in the midst of blessings, but when trials and pain surround you. Authentic faith is seen when you choose to worship regardless of circumstances. This does not diminish the pain, but it recognizes God's glory above the pain. You guys get that? This does not diminish the pain, but it recognizes God's glory above the pain. And this is where we see Job's response. He said this, you're talking like a foolish woman, talking to his wife. Shall we accept from God good, but not the trouble? For the next several chapters, about 10 chapters, we see three friends come along Job. And these three friends, initially they come in, and it says they actually sat with Job for 7 days in silence. As they were walking up to see him, they didn't recognize him at first. And as they're walking up, they're going, like you can just see the devastation in Job. And the friends, literally, they couldn't say anything. So for 7 days, they sat and they just were there with Job in total silence. And then after those 7 days, those three friends decided, well, Job, you must have sinned. You must have done something wrong. So one after another, they went to him and said, Job, what kind of sin do you have in your life? And through all of it, he's like, I don't know of anything. I don't know of anything. See, Pain and sorrow is not always a direct result of sin that you're committing right now, here and right now. That's not necessarily. It's a part of the fall from the beginning, but it's not a part of necessarily part of an immediate sin in our life right now. But this is Job's response to them. Job 13:15 says, though he slay me, and yet I will hope in him. As we read on past that, we know that, yeah, he does ask, what is going on? But he says, though you slay me, God, though you slay me, though he slays me, if he kills my body, if he takes away everything I have, and I literally am dead and gone and there's nothing left, I will praise him with every ounce of life, and I will praise him in my death. This morning, are you willing to praise him with your life and with your death? It's easy to say yes. But what about when the trials actually come? When the pain comes, do you sit there like I did, pacing, hold my tongue, Lord, hold my tongue? Or do we fall to our knees and say, God, I will praise you in the storms, and I will praise you in the calm seas. Blessed be the name. You give and you take away. You kill me, I will worship you. I am yours. I want you to just take a minute and listen to a song.
And though you stay near, Not only is all your affliction momentary, not only is all your affliction light in comparison to eternity and the glory there, but all of it is totally meaningful. Every millisecond of your pain from the fallen nature or fallen man, every millisecond of your misery in the path of obedience is producing a peculiar glory you will get because of that. I don't care if it was cancer or criticism. I don't care if it was slander or sickness. It wasn't meaningless. It's doing something. It's not meaningless. Of course you can't see what it's doing. Don't look to what is seen. When your mom dies, when your kid dies, when you got cancer at 40, when a car careens into the sidewalk and takes her out, don't say, it's meaningless. It's not. It's working for you an eternal weight of glory. Therefore, do not lose heart, but take these truths and day by day, focus on them. Preach them to yourself every morning. Get alone with God and preach His Word into your mind until your heart sings with confidence that you are new and cared for.
Though you slay me, yet I will praise You. Though You take from me, I will bless Your name. Though You ruin me, still I will worship, sing a song to the One who's all I need. I'll sing a song to the One who's all I need.
Though You slay me, yet I will worship. Though You take from me, I will bless Your name. Though You ruin me, still I will praise You. I'll sing a song to the One who's all I need. It doesn't diminish the pain. It exalts God's glory. Where are you at this morning? Are you saying, God, I'm in pain. I need You. You know, in that song, there was a passage. It was 2 Corinthians 4. It said, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. Fix your eyes on God. In the midst of pain, fix your eyes. God is good in the midst of pain. God has not given up the throne. Let your heart of worship not just be shown and expressed in the good times, but worship at all times in the pain, the good and the bad. Why? Because He is worthy. He is worthy. He alone is worthy. Let's pray. God, you alone are worthy to receive all glory, honor, and praise. And yet, God, sometimes our flesh does not feel like worship. Circumstances around us at times feel overwhelming, feel out of control, feel chaotic. God, I ask you to comfort those who are hurting. Give peace to those who feel like life is just chaotic. And let us all lift up our hearts and our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to you. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, is there someone here this morning that just says, Nate, I don't feel like worshiping, but I need to worship. I just need you to pray for me because I'm in the trials right now. Is there anybody here this morning that say that? Is that you? Okay. God, I lift up those who are just hurting again. Comfort them. As we move into a week of celebration, Lord, this week was a painful week for Mary, who lost her son. Lord, let us remember the full price that your son paid on the cross for our sins. And let us worship you. Lord, as we go downstairs and have a brunch, let us worship you. Let us celebrate the life that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. And let us worship in the good and the bad. We ask you to bless the food that we're going to be eating downstairs, Lord. Guide our conversations. Let us grow together as a family. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.